Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlean and today we will be studying Shmuel Bey's Perek Tes Zayin, the 16th Perek. In the last Perek, we had learned about the process of Avshalom's rebellion and David's being forced to flee with his family and inner circle from Yerushalayim, from his palace. The people left ostensibly quickly without any chariots or horses. We see that they went to Beraglav. He was traveling on foot. And from this next encounter, we see that he had very little provisions. Because in the first pasuk of our parak, we meet up with Tziva, who was the slave of Mephibosheth, the son of Yehonasan, the son who we met in Perak Dalid, was Nechei Raglayim, he was disabled. We saw in Perak Tes how Tziva was not very loyal to Mephibosheth and cast aspersions on Mephibosheth. And here we see the same disloyalty again. Tziva presents David with donkeys laden with a lot of provisions. And David asks him, what is all this? And he says, it's for you. I see that you need provisions for your family. You need transportation. Here are the donkeys for you. And David asks him, where is your master's son? Meaning, where is your former master Yehonasan's son, Mephibosheth? Because Tziva, as a slave, belonged to the family of Shaul. So Tziva, as if waiting for this question, says, well, Mephibosheth is in Yerushalayim. He is waiting for the Malucha to go back to his family, to the house of Shaul. Meaning, the rebellion, according to Tziva, it's sowing unrest, and he's waiting for this unrest to bring about the restoration of the monarchy back to Beis Shaul. Meaning, Mephibosheth is no longer your loyal servant. Tziva was an opportunistic and crafty personality, and he exploits the unrest in order to curry favor in David's eyes. We see similarly, remember back in Perek Aleph of Shmuel Beis, when the Amaleki giving news to David of Shaul's death, he also was an opportunistic personality trying to exploit the death of Shaul for his own good. David seems to take Tziva's report at face value and says, I'm going to transfer all of Mephibosheth's property over to you. And what this means, in effect, is that because a slave, Tziva is a slave is considered property, by definition, when he transfers over the property to Tziva, by that transfer, Tziva now becomes a free person. Now, there is debate in the Gemara Shabbos about whether or not David sinned by accepting Tziva's words at face value, meaning there is an isser of telling Lashon Hara, but there's also an isser, there's a prohibition of being mekabel Lashon Hara. So David now continues towards the city of Bahurim. He is near the city. It's a town within Sheva Binyamin, and he encounters someone else from the family of Shaul, namely Shimi ben Gera, who also will demonstrate that he is not loyal to David as well. Which is interesting that we have a claim that Mephibosheth from the house of Shaul is not loyal anymore, and now we have Shimi coming and cursing David, which seems to bring validity to Tziva's claims. The next incident is a particularly painful incident in David's life. It's painful for David. It's also very difficult for the reader to read this account because we show how David is suffering from the curses of Shimi ben Gera. So in Pasuk Vav 6, Shimi meets him, Vayisakel ba'avanim es David, he stoned him. He threw stones at David, ve'es kol avdei ha'melach David, and all of David's servants, v'chol ha'am v'chol ha'giborim mimino mismalo, and all of the people that were with him, his giborim, his very strong warriors, were on his right and on his left, meaning that Shimi sort of took a risk, because he seems to be acting alone, by cursing David, who is flanked with all of these soldiers to his right and to his left. V'cho amar Shimi b'kalalo, and this is what he said, Tse, isha damim v'isha belial, get out of here, you man of blood, you the person who has shed so blood, the man who is worth nothing. Heshiv alecha Hashem kol demei beis sha'ol asher malachta tachtav. Hashem should pay you back for all of the blood that you have spilled in the house of Sha'ol, and you have ruled instead of him. V'yitein Hashem as hamelucha biyad Avshalom banecha, and let Hashem give the melucha and transfer over the melucha to Avshalom, your son. V'hincha b'ra'asecha ki ish damim atah. And because of all of this bloodshed that you have done, now Hashem is paying you back. Shimi from Shevet Binyamin still is casting doubts on David's legitimacy as king. It's true that he was accepted by virtually everybody 8 years after he first ruled in Hebron, but clearly some old grievances are resurfacing now. And Avshalom's rebellion and David's being thrust from the throne, even if it was temporarily, seems to be a referendum on David's previous actions. Ish Hadamim, a man of bloodshed, according to the Radak and the Malbim and others, he holds David responsible for being the trigger for Shaul and his son's death. In addition, he holds him responsible for the death of Avner and Ishbosheth. Furthermore, he calls him an Ish Belial, a base man, indicting him for the marriage to Bathsheba. It seems that Avshalom's rebellion was a catalyst for the re-examination of the past. Avishai, the son of Tzruya, who was Yoav's brother, one of the main figures in David's army, says to David in Pasuk Tes, Vayomer Avishai ben Tzruya el HaMelech, Avishai ben Tzruya said to the king, Lami Yakalel HaKelev HaMesazez Adoni HaMelech, why are you allowing this dog, this dead dog, to curse the king? Ebronav Asira Es Rasho, let me go and cut off his head. And Pasukim Yud through Yud Beis really highlight the incredible restraint of David and the incredible character, the noble character that David has, because he does not allow anybody to raise a hand against Shimei. Pasuk Yud, Vayomer HaMelech, Pasuk 10, Ma liv lachem b'nei Tzruya, ki kalel Hashem amar lo kalel as David, umi omar madua asisa kein. What is it between me and you, the sons of Tzruya? Meaning that they have come head to head on many occasions where they are very, very, at times very hot-headed, sometimes impulsive. They vie for the honor of David HaMelech. If you recall, Yoav wanted to kill Shaul when they had the opportunity. So he's saying, why are you constantly at odds with me? I don't necessarily want to take revenge over everybody. Just, you know, he's saying, calm down and listen to my reasoning. And he says, if he is coming to curse me in this way, it's because God has told him to curse me. Why would you do such a thing? And Rashi on our pasuk tells us, Efshar Adam Kamoso Shehu Rosh LeSanhedrin Yikalel Es HaMelech. Could it be that Shimei, who was the Rosh Sanhedrin, he was not a simple person, he was not just the average person, he was the Rosh Sanhedrin. Could it be that he is cursing me in this way, Im Lo Shenemar Lo Me'es HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if not for the fact that it came from God? What he's saying is the fact that I am suffering such degradation at the hands of Shimei ben Gera, who was a person of stature. Chazal, we see later on that Shimei ben Gera was the teacher of Shlomo HaMelech. It has to be this unusual turn of events, the degradation that I'm suffering, the Yisurin that I'm suffering is coming from God. And therefore he continues, Yod Aleph, and if that's not enough, he says, Vayomer David el Avishai ve'el kol avadov, he says to Yishai and Avishai and all of his servants, Hinei b'ni asher yitzami me'ai mevakeshes nafshi, my own son is seeking my life. Va'af ki ata ben hayimini, and now we have somebody from Sheva ben Yamin. It's, in other words, everybody's coming to seek my life, so leave him alone. Anichu lo v'kalel ki amar lo Hashem, let him be, because Hashem told him to curse. It doesn't mean that God told him to curse. It means it came, it was Me'es Hashem, that I'm supposed to be suffering in this way, and therefore let him be. Ulay yireh Hashem be'eini v'heshiv Hashem li tova. Maybe Hashem will see my suffering, and he will repay me back with good. Tachas kelaso hayom hazeh, instead of this curse. Meaning, maybe it will atone. All of the surin that anybody goes through is an atonement. And David is hoping that all the degradation that he is suffering will be an atonement for his sins. Vayelech Yud Gimel, Vayelech David va'anashav baderech, and David and his men went. V'shimi holech b'tzela ha'har l'umaso haloch v'yekalel v'yisakel ba'avanim l'umasor v'ipar be'afar. So David continued, and Shimi was going on the side of the mountain, and while he was going, while they both, Shimi and the group of David's men continued, he kept cursing him and throwing stones at him, and he threw dirt upon him. The Navi interestingly refers to David in Pasuk Yod as a melech without the name David, as if to hint to us that the reaction of David is perhaps his crowning achievement. According to the Zohar, his sin was completely atoned for because of his unbelievable restraint. The irony here is that Shimei attempts to sully David, but instead of his being sullied by the curses and the dirt and the stones being thrust upon him, he emerges as a pristine and shining example of one who is kovesh es yitzro, as one who does not react out of anger, one who does not feel the need to have the last word. David exemplifies the medrash that describes, Hane'elvin ve'enam olvim, shom'im cherpasam ve'enam moshivim, One who is humiliated but doesn't feel the need to humiliate back. One who hears their shame but doesn't feel the need to retort. Osime ahava usmechin biyisur. And someone who does this out of ahava, out of love, and is happy with his yisurin because he looks at the yisurin as a way of atoning for his mistakes. Aleim hakasav omer ketzeis hashemesh begvura. So about him. About him, it says that he is as great as the sun is at its height. David exercises restraint. It's interesting. I just realized as I'm speaking, this calls to mind in Megillas Rus, the Alshich explains that Rus is also known for her characteristic of restraint. When she was collecting wheat from the fields of Boaz, the workers were hurling insults at her and hinted to Boaz to disregard her. And Ruth remains silent and doesn't attempt to defend her position. And the Alshech points out that Boaz lets her know, he says, Halosha matbiti, I know that you have heard the insults. I've heard the insults that they have hurled towards you, but I also heard your silence. I saw that you did not respond to them, which is why you, Rus, are worthy to be the mother of royalty. And the Alshech quotes this medrash that she is as great as the sun. So David, as a descendant of Rus, exemplifies royalty, ultimate royalty, by maintaining dignity at the face of insult. David is really the poster child of upholding the mitzvah of lo sikom velo titor, that you cannot take revenge. And the chinuch explains mishar sheha mitzvah sheyada adam v'yitein el libo, that a person should know when somebody hurts him that he shouldn't hurt back. Ki kol asher yikreu mitov ad ra hisiba shetavo elav me'es Hashem Yisbarach. The reason you cannot take revenge is because when you take revenge, you are sort of denying the fact that this came from God. Everything that happens to us is from God. And this is what David exemplified. Now, while David did hold back, b'shas maisa, as they say, when actually this was happening, from retaliating against Shimei, he did command Shlomo HaMelech on his deathbed to take care of Shimei and to punish him. After David dies, and he waited till the end of his life on his deathbed to tell Shlomo to do this when there wouldn't be any personal bias in punishing him. In other words, he's not acting out of anger. He is acting on behalf of the kavod of Hashem. And why is that? Because by Shimei refuting David as the Mashiach Hashem, as the Melech that Hashem chose, he was in essence refuting Mamlechas Beis David, which was commanded by God, and that needed to be punished after David died. So the scene shifts now back to Avshalom's camp, and the Navi makes a point of telling us that Achitophel was with him because, as we said before, he was this brilliant strategist. Hushai Ha'arki, David's close friend, who was sent to Avshalom by David to be basically an undercover agent in order to influence the strategic planning of Avshalom, was there as well. And Avshalom is basically incredulous. He says, so this is how you treat your friend? And he says, Zeh chastacha esreecha? And he says, that Hushai Ha'arki responds, well, Avshalom, you seem to be king now, so I am loyal to you, and I will be loyal to you as I was to David. In addition, he's pointing out, the ball's in your court now. You are David's son, and maybe it should be this way. And the Malbim says that while Achitophel was trying to drive a wedge between David and Avshalom, Hushai was planting a seed in Avshalom's head, that perhaps there will be reconciliation between the two of you, and David will give over his crown willingly to you, which is introducing a completely new perspective to Avshalom on the situation, that possibly there can be peace between David and Avshalom. So in this creative way, Hushai is laying the groundwork for Avshalom's decision-making later on. There's a seed that's planted that, you know, perhaps we don't need to drive such a huge wedge between David and myself. But it has not happened yet. And unfortunately, he then turns to Achitophel for advice, who tells him to do something so bold in order to humiliate David and show the Klal Yisrael who indeed is in charge. And he tells him to take David's pilakshim and to live with them. And Avshalom took these pilakshim on a tent he had on the roof. He erected a tent on the roof, and he very publicly took each pilegesh into this tent and was intimate with them. This was obviously, to say the least, this was a tremendous bizayon for David and these women, a tremendous breach of tznius, of course. And the Navi ends by telling us that Achitophel was an incredibly wise person, and asking him advice was like asking Hashem. Meaning that in the past, the same answer that Achitofel would have given you would have been the same answer that the Urim Betumim would have given you, which explains why nobody protested this this very, very bold and troubling advice of Achitofel. This act of Avshalom was a fulfillment of the prophecy that Nasan told David that back in Perek Yud Beis, remember that Nasan Hanavi said that in as a punishment for what David did with taking Bathsheba, Hinini mekim alecha rami beisach v'lakachti leinecha v'nasata lereecha v'shachav im nashecha leinei hashemesh hazos, that your wives will be taken in public. Ki ata asisa basaser, you did something privately, you thought you were doing something in secret, v'ani ases hadavar hazeh neged kol Yisrael, the neged hashemesh, and now I will do something to you that will be public for everybody to see. This is a tragic perek indeed, but David teaches us acceptance of Yisurin, how to deal with those that may be verbally abusive to us. And in Perek Lamed Ches, he talks about it. Perek Lamed Ches in Tehillim, David HaMelech talks about his enemies that shame him. Perek Lamed Ches 38, according to Radak, he says that this is a perek that should be said by anybody who finds themselves in Sara. And within that perek, clearly we can see David saying this because he has experience with Shimi ben Gera, who is cursing him in Pasuk Yud Gimel 13. Ve'inakshum avakshe nafshi v'darshi ra'asi dibru havos umirmos kol hayom yehagu. People are speaking ill about me. They are casting aspersion on me. They're saying lies about me. But then David says, Yodalid va'ani kecheiresh lo eshma, I act as if I can't hear, uche'ilem lo yiftach piv, and I do not answer with my mouth. I keep quiet. After learning the greatness of restraint of David HaMelech, I think this parak of Tehillim is so much more meaningful, as much of Tehillim is so much more meaningful after learning about the life of David. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.